How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
For a long time, there have been a lot of people who've been talking about, like, giving ministry back to the laity. I think now is the time to radically do that, and that means we need to give resources that empower the laity and maybe even disempower the clergy a little bit. We actually have to tear down the wall between clergy and laity. We do that in churches, in the way churches govern themselves. We do that in the way that we educate potential pastors in seminary. We change the whole format of theological education so that people don't think they're getting all the special knowledge to be able to say the magic words on Sunday morning. We re-govern the church where the whole thing is much more egalitarian. And I don't just mean letting more women be pastors. I'm meaning really sharing everything about church life between pastors and clergy.
That's Tony Jones of Emergent Village, one of the speakers at an Emergent Church conference last week in Raleigh, North Carolina, called Big Tent Christianity. What is it? I know what big tent politics looks like. It usually doesn't work very well, but Big Tent Christianity sounds like the worst of both worlds. Chris Roseborough joins us. He received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California. He's author of the blog Extreme Theology and host of a daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back on, Todd.
You attended recently this Emergent Church conference called Big Tent Christianity. Was it, in fact, Big Tent Christianity?
No, it really wasn't. And I don't know if it's for lack of trying on the part of the people putting it on. The people who put the Big Tent Christianity together, I know that they tried to reach out to some conservative leaders in the church at large, and I don't think they were able to get any of them to bite. I think the problem was is that some of these Christian, conservative leaders had shown up, it might have created the perception that they were affirming the fundamental premise of this event, and that is that regardless of doctrine, regardless of confession, regardless of whether or not you believe Jesus actually was crucified for our sins and rose bodily from the grave, that apparently the Christianity is a big enough tent to include all these, quote, different expressions of Christianity, as and that we can somehow slap each other on the back and give each other big hugs with the impression that we're all Christian brothers together, regardless of what you believe, teach, and confess.
Every system of thought, every ideology, if you will, has a sine qua non, a tenet without which it cannot exist.
Mm-hmm.
When you mention that some in the emergent camp or Big Tent Christianity will deny even the atoning work of Christ and his resurrection, I have to ask you, Chris, I mean, from your observation, you've been doing this for some time now, mm-hmm. of the emergent movement. What is their tenet apart from which their movement, their ideology cannot exist if it's not the atoning work of Jesus Christ?
They would call it the theology of hope. It's more along the lines of what Jürgen Moltmann taught in his book regarding his eschatology of hope. It's this idea that we can somehow see God working in the other, and that somehow God is they believe in something called resurrection, and God's resurrection power is making the world into a great place, and that everybody, regardless of what they believe, teach, and confess, can join with God in helping to see his big, great, grand dream for the world come to fruition. I think that's kind of the center of this whole thing.
What kind of gospel was taught at Big Tent Christianity?
A gospel of affirmation. It's not the gospel that Christ died on the cross for your sins and was resurrected on the third day for your justification. It's more along the lines of God is, this is a characterization, but it's kind of like God is this senile old grandpa who smells of pipe, tobacco, and butterscotch, who kind of basically just loves everybody and affirms them regardless of how sloppy and messy and broken they are, because he knows that they're just human, and so he affirms and loves them just the way they are.
Is this why when we interviewed Brian McLaren here on Issues Etc., he was willing to go as far as, say, the Apostles' Creed in its bare-bones outline, in affirming what he did believe, but when it came to other creedal formulations that reject errors like the Athanasian Creed, he just simply wouldn't go there.
Correct, yeah, because one of the fundamental assumptions in their doctrinal or philosophical way of looking at things is that drawing hard lines that would exclude some is somehow really bad. In fact, McLaren at the conference, he took a shot at Luther, and he basically said that Luther was anathematized by the Roman Catholic Church, but then he responded in kind and anathematized the Pope and called him the Antichrist, and somehow he considered that to actually show that Luther really didn't correctly understand God, because you don't want to have a God that excludes other peoples. And so what happens in the big tent, it was interesting to watch as people talked about what kind of walls or barriers there were in the big tent, and some actually kind of bristled at the idea, because even the idea of a big tent had this idea that there are some boundaries from which somebody can be outside of the tent. And so it was rather interesting to watch them, you know, as they tried to wrestle even with the concept of tent, because even then there's some boundaries, and they think boundaries are bad.
This thing has, I mean, you know better than I do, this thing has, much contrary to my predictions, not fizzled out with a short fuse, but in many ways has kind of taken on new virulency, and has gone from questionable to seriously wrong in a very short amount of time. What is driving emergence?
This is a great question. Emergence, you got to understand, it's not a denomination, nor is it some monolithic way of looking at things. Emergence really is an embracing of an irrational philosophy in the form of postmodernism that really is trying to change liberalism and Christianity and the church as a whole through their new way of looking at things. And so what I think the emergent church is, I think it's a full frontal assault on the old modernist liberal left from within the ranks of the left itself. And so what they're really trying to do is completely change liberalism from what it was in modernist materialism to this new postmodernist way of looking at things. And so there's really, I thought the battle was buttoned up, but I think this conference showed that there's still some vestiges. And so it was rather interesting to see some modernist liberal professors from some of the different mainline seminaries who had to share the dais with people who don't even remotely come close to having the same kind of academic credentials as they do. And I think in a lot of ways it ended up lending a lot of credibility to those who have an emergent way of viewing the world.
Unintentionally.
I think it was intentional on the part of the coordinators, but I don't think the people who were kind of the old guard liberals that were on the dais, kind of, I don't think they saw the strategy that was in play, because a lot of the speakers they didn't attend the conference. They were just kind of parachuted in and gave their speeches and then whisked away. I think if they had stuck around, they might have been able to more clearly see what the strategy was that was in play at the conference.
Given what you said and what you've discovered about this, it is not unusual to find otherwise mostly orthodox Christian church bodies, parachurch organizations, what have you, flirting around with this stuff, inviting their speakers to their conferences, listening carefully, nodding their heads. Does orthodox Christianity, confessional Christianity, benefit at all from the emergent church movement, other than simply studying it to kind of mark and avoid?
Boy, that's a good question, because here's the deal. The emergents have offered, and the postmoderns have offered, what I would consider a very brilliant critique of much of what's come to be known as, you know, kind of the American evangelical right in its focus on culture warring and other things. And they're right in their critiques. They have a very good and brilliant critique against the modern megachurch movement, against the James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, moral majority type of Christians. And I think what their critiques really resonate in a lot of circles. And the irony is that it actually resonates in a lot of the seeker-driven, purpose-driven megachurches. The problem is not the critique. The problem is the prescription that's offered for the ailment. And that prescription is deadly as theological and doctrinal cyanide. I mean, their solution is a rejection of all transcendent, binding moral and theological truth claims, which, by the way, is a transcendent truth claim. They shroud it in such a way that they look like they're being pious and faithful to Christ in doing that, but in reality, their solution is just horrible. It really, really destroys and undermines the Christian faith from within.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, talking about a recent emergent church conference called Big Tent Christianity. Chris has been to a number of these. He's tracking the progress of emergent Christianity, and we'll see what he has to say by way of critique on the other side of the break. I invite your questions and your comments as we come to you live this Monday afternoon, September the 13th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. We'd be happy to answer your questions in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc. Chris Roseborough received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California. He's author of the blog extremetheology.com, and he's host of a daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, what has Chris learned so far about emergent Christianity from the conferences he's attended and observed? Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
More states opt out of abortion in health care.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Louisiana and Missouri have become the fourth and fifth states to opt out of a provision that requires abortion coverage in the new federal health care law. The health care measure signed into law by President Obama in March requires insurance exchanges in each state to offer at least one plan that covers abortion. The law does, however, provide for states to opt out of or even ban insurance plans that cover abortions. The new Missouri law also requires that a woman be offered the chance to see an ultrasound of her unborn child.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Relative. Everything is relative.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about a recent emergent church conference called Big Tent Christianity. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Here's some words fitting for our conversation from our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. From the pen of C.F.W. Walther, a giant in confessional Lutheranism, the book called God Granted. Union, unity, and church peace are buzzwords uttered by thousands of people and regular themes in religious media. But what is the nature of this unity so routinely spoken about and sought? It is this. People should stop fighting because of differences in faith. They should leave one another in peace. They should either remain silent about the errors of others or set themselves against only the greatest of the deviations from God's word. They should extend a brotherly hand to all others. This is the kind of unity that pleases the heart and mind of natural man. It is a unity that the world desires, but this is hardly the unity to which God's word so often and so urgently exhorts his church. Far from it, writes C.F.W. Walther in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, God Granted, Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. Find out more about this great book. Call Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. There you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, God Granted. Chris, you've been to several emergent church conferences. What did you learn from last week's Big Tent Christianity that you hadn't learned so far?
You know, that's a great question because their theology it hasn't moved, it hasn't changed. For me, the big thing I learned, and I knew this to be true in theory, and I knew it was there, but I got to see it in action, and that is the blatant hypocrisy of their rhetoric. And let me give you an example. And, you know, the conference is called Big Tent Christianity, and yet one of the big speakers was a guy by the name of Shane Claiborne. And he, on several occasions during his speech, referred to those who actually believe the biblical truth claims. He just spoke disparagingly of them as Bible thumpers. And then Jay Baker, the son of the PTL scandal evangelist Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, when he had his 10 minutes to speak, he singled me out at the conference and basically raked my position over the coals. And so it was actually rather interesting to be singled out and to have my theology, you know, singled out as being wrong at Big Tent Christianity. I mean, for me, that was like the big wow. It's like, I mean, I knew that their position was irrational and I knew their position was hypocritical, but it was strange to see it in action at an event that claimed to be Big Tent Christianity.
Lance is listening in New York. Lance, thanks for being patient.
Hi. I wanted to ask Chris Roseborough if what he describes as this taking over of irrational philosophy that he sees in the emergent church movement, if that isn't more just the spirit of the age and that we're seeing the same thing in politics and in religion on both left and right, and what we see in the emergent church movement with Big Tent Christianity, if that's really just one side of the same coin as the Glenn Beck rally that we all saw. Isn't this really the same thing? And one's just a liberal version of it, and one's a conservative version of it.
Great question, Lance. Thanks for listening to New York.
Oh, man, you've got to give that guy a book. Holy cow, that was a great question. The answer to your question is yes, they are both two sides of the exact same coin. And part of it is the spirit of the age. And let me explain what's going on here. On the one side, you have conservative Christians who are saying we need to be missional towards the culture, and what they mean by that is a particular subculture. Your conservative suburbanite, middle-class mom and dads who live out in the middle of the burbs and have 2.3 children. And so they modify the gospel and how they're, quote, reaching those people by changing things up to make their message more appealing. And if you understand the nature of where the emergent church came from, it comes out of Leadership Network, which was one of the arms of the purpose-driven way of doing church under Peter Drucker's tutelage. Village, except for it was done by, not by Rick Warren, but it was done by Bob Buford. And the whole idea was is that their marketing research showed that there was a major cataclysmic shift in the way the culture was viewing things, and they had to find a way to be appealing to that culture. And what was coming up through the culture was postmodern philosophy and irrationalism. And so in an attempt to, quote, be missional, they wanted to find a way to reach people who were postmodern in their thinking with the gospel. The problem is postmodernity is not compatible with biblical Christianity at all. In fact, that worldview cannot be sustained within Christianity, and those who mix postmodernity with Christianity end up losing the gospel altogether.
Okay, this one comes from Don in Kansas via email. A member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America told me that, quote, God is still speaking, and we need to listen to him. He said that God is not bound by an old book, presumably the Bible. He said that what the ELCA did in 2009, that would be approving of homosexuality, is the new message from God. And he also said that the Missouri Synod, that would be our church body, Chris, obviously, is out of date and we should start listening to God. Is this false teaching part of the emerging church? Is there affinity you find there?
Oh, absolutely. What you're describing is a form of enthusiasm that, the Luther talked about, the Schwärmerei. What you're talking about is people who claim that their internal messaging that they're supposedly getting from God is the new message. That's the thing with all heretics. They all have this in common, from Patricia King to Rick Warren to the emergent church to anybody. They all claim God is doing a new thing. He's got a new thing that he's doing, and that they're in touch with the Holy Spirit. And so the problem is this, is that Scripture makes it clear that we're to test prophecies against the clear teaching of the Word of God. So if someone were to come to us and say, I've got a word from God, and Jesus isn't God in human flesh, but in reality what he is Elvis reincarnated from the mothership alien spaceship that's circling the dark side of the moon, we have to reject that as not coming from God because it contradicts the clear teaching of God. So somebody who says the new thing that God is doing is he's affirming homosexuals and homosexual relationships, well, that contradicts the clear teaching of the Word of God, so we can reject it and say, that's not the Holy Spirit speaking. It might be a spirit, but it's not God the Holy Spirit, because God is not capricious, and he doesn't change. God is eternal, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's revealed this about himself. So those making these kind of claims, we can dismiss them as false, because Jesus himself warned us that in the end times that we're currently in, there would be false Christ and there would be false prophets, and they would teach falsely about him. And Jesus assumed that we can know the truth about him and God and other things by looking at his word. In fact, he says, those who love me will guard my word. That's what Jesus said.
You spoke earlier about how the emergent church movement offers a rather incisive critique of pop American Christianity. Interestingly enough, though, when mainline denominations have decided to kind of dip into the well of the emergent church movement for conference speakers and whatnot, they generally don't pick them for their critique of pop American Christianity. A name that's been brought up by our listener several times, in fact, during a comment line before our conversation here, a listener asked about Leonard Sweet, who has been a rather popular conference speaker in our own denomination. Who is Leonard Sweet, and what is his message?
Leonard Sweet he buys into postmodernity, and he claims that he's a postmodern Wesleyan. And already, I mean, we've got some problems. If you're going to bring him into an LCMS conference, this is a guy who self-identifies as both postmodern and Wesleyan. Hello. Lutheranism from since the time of Wesley has been critical of the wrong distinction of law and gospel with that Wesley brought out, and Wesley's doctrine of sanctification contradicts the gospel itself. So we got some problems there. But now add postmodernity in the mix. I mean, Leonard Sweet is a train wreck theologically, and I wouldn't have him preach the gospel to my dog because I don't want my dog going to hell.
So the other voices here, are they still on, are they, I guess what I'm wondering is, do they have a goal in mind toward which they are driving the movement, or, as they claim, they're kind of along for the ride and nobody knows where this ship's going to run aground?
Boy, that is a hard question to answer. I would basically say that there is a general direction that this thing is heading, but it's really hard to nail down. And the reason why is because it embraces a form of irrational philosophy that makes it so that it doesn't operate in the normal categories that you and I operate in when we think about things and strategies. I think what they're trying to do is create a space, you know, in people's brains from which they, you know, that, you know, people can somehow learn how to embrace this irrational philosophy where we don't have to say that someone's confession of Christianity is false based upon the clear teachings of the Word of God. Instead, we can somehow embrace this generous orthodoxy where all seeming contradictions can be embraced as a form of truth. I mean, it's really a mess.
When we come back from this break, we'll spend some more time, about 10 more minutes, with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, talking about a recent emergent church conference called Big Tent Christianity. I invite your questions and comments. 10 minutes is still plenty of time for your phone calls, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you could send us a tweet at issuesetc. Fascinating that the caller from New York, Lance, saw the connection between Big Tent on the right, Big Tent on the left. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break.
So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Why does it have to be wrong or right?
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about a recent emergent church conference called Big Tent Christianity on this Monday afternoon, September the 13th. 10 more minutes with Chris. Chris, Lance from New York pointed out earlier, and you seem to agree heartily, the kind of big tent on the right has, much to my surprise in the last couple weeks, proven that it is more than willing to include under the tent of Pop American Christianity Temple Mormonism in the person of Glenn Beck, and perfectly comfortable with his generic references to God if it serves a greater kind of social and political purpose. So they're reaching outside of the pale of Christianity and calling it all the kind of God thing. In the emergent church movement, are they also envisioning a Christianity that includes non-Christians?
Yeah, they are. In fact, there are some within the emergent church who openly discuss how people who are Muslims, who are Buddhists, that they are also our brothers in Christ, and that God is working in those religions. They have they're more and more openly discussing universalism in their conversations, and the way they basically discuss it is that our faith tradition, we believe God does it this way, but in their faith tradition, God does it that way. But God is working in both religions. This is a frequent topic that they talk about, and I think kind of typified last year when Brian McLaren celebrated Ramadan, observed Ramadan with the Muslims.
Does it trouble them at all that to use their framework there, the Muslim expresses his contact with the divine by denying the divinity of Jesus Christ. The Christian may, not all emergents, but most Orthodox Christians, all Orthodox Christians would express theirs by affirming the deity of Jesus Christ, and somehow God is at work in both. Do they struggle or appear to even recognize the basic contradiction there?
Well, when you've embraced an irrational philosophy that basically believes in plural truth, and that truth can only, that there are no transcendent moral truths or transcendent truths that bind us all. There's only truths that you experience individually as you're in conversation within a community. Your enemy isn't the person who expresses a different idea. Your enemy is the person who says, the emperor's wearing no clothes. That's irrational. You can't be both black and white. You can't be both, A and non-A. When you start, their enemy is not somebody who puts out different religious truth claims. Their enemy is the one who points to the logical law of non-contradictions and basically says, you can't get there from here.
So if they are willing to embrace plural truth or even perhaps polytruth, is that a better way of putting it?
Yeah, they embrace pluralism, not relativism. So that's really their view.
When they do this, who does Jesus become in conferences like Big Tent Christianity? To what end do they put him to work?
Jesus is the ultimate example of somebody who reached to those who were marginalized and tried to cross barriers to reach out to the poor. He's the ultimate example of social justice in action. But he's not the guy who was penally substituted for us on the cross. In fact, they flat out say that penal substitution is not only wrong, but it's also that doctrine is the culprit and what's responsible for the sins that white Western colonizers committed against different racial ethnic groups in enslaving them and exploiting their land and territory for their resources.
Julie in Maumee, Ohio asks, is the emergent church movement almost a kind of Gnostic philosophy? It just seems as if they feel that they have a special knowledge or enlightenment that all of us Orthodox Christians simply don't get.
Yes, it is very akin to Gnosticism. It doesn't have the same classical distinctives as Gnosticism as far as their beliefs. For instance, if you read, I think it's Irenaeus against the Valentinians, it doesn't teach about the aeons and things like that, but it does have this special revealed knowledge that you kind of have to be initiated into, and luckily they're the ones who've discovered this truth, and you can learn it too by being in conversation with them.
If there was a voice, there's so many names here, Tony Jones and Brian McLaren, you mentioned before Leonard Sweet and others. If there is a voice that at this point is kind of the main surfer on the wave, who is that for the emergent church?
I still think McLaren represents kind of the elder statesman of the emergent church movement, And what he says carries a lot of weight. And I think probably next to him would be like Phyllis Tickle and Leonard Sweet. But McLaren is the one who is the boldest in his call for the creation of a new kind of Christianity. So he sets that agenda, or a new Christianity altogether. He's kind of set that agenda, and the others are riding that the wave that he's created.
Joe is listening on a cell phone. Hi, Joe.
Hi. What I'm hearing here is I'm okay, you're okay, unless you're an Orthodox Christian, in which case you're not okay, because that conflicts with what we think. Is that right?
Yeah, they'll tolerate every view except for the intolerant view.
In what sense, Chris, is the emergent church, as you saw it represented at Big Tent Christianity, if at all, still Christian?
In what sense is it still Christian?
If it is at all.
Boy, I got to be careful here, because I've met people who are part of the emergent conversation who individually, I'd say, are probably Christians. They're hurt and confused and need some straightening out. But if from what I've seen of the doctrine and the philosophy that goes with it, I can't say that there's anything Christian here, because if I understand Christ rightly, the message that we're to proclaim is repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name to all nations. They refuse to preach that message. They bristle against it and write philosophical and theological arguments against that gospel itself. And what they're offering is not biblical Christianity. I think in some sense they've become a neoliberal cult.
So is the emergent church movement simply a repackaging of mainline Protestant liberalism?
No, it's not a repackaging. It's a complete restructuring and reordering of it, they've rejected modernist naturalism and they've replaced it with postmodern mysticism.
Chris Rosebrode received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California. He's author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. He's host of a daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. You can tune in to Fighting for the Faith after the conclusion of Issues, Etc. at PirateChristianRadio.com. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
We have so many ways that you can support Issues, Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio. One of them, Thrivent Choice, is a new program from Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Donate, and right there on the Donate page, look for the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. Click there. You'll find out everything you need to know about how you can support Issues, Etc. through Thrivent Choice. Remember when you go there that Issues, Etc. is produced by Lutheran Public Radio, and that's the entity you're going to want to find there at the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans website, Lutheran Public Radio. So go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Donate, and look for the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. Thank you in advance for your support of the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. through Thrivent Choice. It is not that Christianity is dependent upon a rational philosophy. It is that, as we confess, God has given us our reason and our senses and still preserves them. And he puts them to good use. They are ultimately put to the use of the greater authority, greater than even our reason and our senses, his own word. His word speaks clearly. And we read it, we mark it, we inwardly digest it. It is the fodder of faith. It is that which creates and feeds Christian faith in the individual and creates and sustains the true Christian church on earth. When we disconnect our minds from our God-given reason and senses and reject them and embrace irrationality, we cut off ourselves from this communication, this word, this rational word that God speaks to us, through which he delivers to us the saving word of the gospel. We cut ourselves off from the word of God. I think this is what St. Paul's talking about when he says in the first chapter of Romans that their minds became darkened. And ultimately, with darkened minds, they rejected the true God, even the little that they did know about him. And of course, into the vacuum of that religious chasm can rush all sorts of things. In Paul's day, it would have been the pagan worship of creatures and beings and the imagination of our hearts. In our day, our postmodern, post-rational, some say post-Christian age, what is it? It's just irrationality itself. That's what it looks like to me. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.